This is Guildcast, episode 35, for July 9th, 2006. Hey everyone, welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean. In this episode, I'll be playing a conversation that I had with Lady Sinea and Slaughter in his first appearance on the show. I thought it went really well, and we basically answered some emails and talked about things like the Dragon Festival from last week and things like that, but it was a lot of fun. Really quickly, though, I wanted to mention a few things. I promised a few people I'd mention them on the show, and they include Blah Shaw Alpha, Psy Knee, Life vs. Death, and Stay Out of My Way. Also, there's a website that an officer in my guild has been working on a lot lately, and it's full of some pretty helpful guides to farming for the certain classes. It's broken down by each class. I think he's mostly done with the site now, and I'm sure he'll add more later, but the address is glax, that's G-L-A-X-X, .co.nr. And there's no www before that. That's all it is. Also, before I play the conversation, I wanted to mention something about the Guildcast tournament that has been going on the last week or so. This news will come as a surprise to many of you, but I've thought about it really seriously lately, and I'm going to go ahead and cancel the tournament. But let me explain first. The main reason I'm doing this is participation, or lack thereof. Ideally, I wanted 16 players in each division to make it exciting and, you know, worth the large prize at the end. But how it turned out was I filled one division with 16, that was the Warriors, and the rest were odd numbers between 8 and 12, and which makes it really unfairly balanced. Not only that, I've had several players who signed up and then they actually back out when I've asked them if they wanted to do their battle now. I certainly didn't expect people to be able to attend right when I first started the tournament, of course, so I was making varied times throughout the week so that everyone could get their chance, and I planned on doing that a lot more throughout the month, too. I know I had some players from Australia and Great Britain and everything like that, so I was going to work around their schedules, but I just didn't expect so many people to back out after already signing up. Plus, I've had a lot of people ask if they could participate after sign-ups ended, mostly because they just started listening to the show. And, you know, I certainly can't blame them for that at all. That's perfectly normal. But allowing them in so late, I don't think would really be fair to the others that I've turned down after the sign-ups ended. Also, there's been some bad blood on about three of the battles. And, you know, the last thing I want is for something like that to happen, for people to become upset at me or to my officers for some unforeseen problems with the battles. So, you know, I've lived and learned. I think this tournament was a much larger ordeal than I could handle just being, you know, a regular guy doing a podcast. This is something that really needs to be coordinated by more people than just me. So what I'll do is, in the future, I'll incorporate some 1v1 and 2v2 battles in contests on a much smaller scale. I haven't decided exactly how I'll do it yet, but I will do that. And for those of you who spent hours and hours playing through your rounds and those who helped me judge and all of that, I seriously apologize to you, and I thank you for your help. But I think we had fun. I think it was pretty fun anyways. This was a real difficult decision for me to stop this like this, because it was something I built up for a while, and a lot of people helped me get it together. But I think it'll be better for me to stop it now before it continued the way it was going. And like I said, we'll try it again another day on a much smaller scale. So thanks a lot, everyone. I guess we'll start out by just saying everybody who's here. We have Lady Sinea.
Hey.
And we have Slaughter.
What's up, guys?
So we got our first conference call. Attempted a conference call on the show. And what we'll basically do, guys, is we'll just we'll talk about different things. I wrote down some topics. I think I emailed them to both of you, just, you know, general outlines of topics. And then I'm going to go over and read some emails that I got, and we can discuss those, you know, see if we can answer some questions. There's not a lot. There's probably about 10, I guess. But a lot of them are just quick questions, you know, here and there. I've actually, lately I've been getting, like when we first started doing this with answering emails and everything, I started reading every email I got, you know, and well, just about, at least the ones that had questions in them. But now I can weed through them a little bit and, you know, kind of pick and choose a few good ones that I think a lot of people will benefit from the answers to, you know.
Sure.
So, there's been a lot of stuff that's happened in the last 2 weeks. You know, we, since the last time we did a show, and I don't even know if I can remember all the way back. Like, I know there's been a lot of updates. Can you guys think of any? I don't have the screen in front of me right now. Let me check it out. But I'm trying to think if there's any real significant updates that happened.
I mean, there was a bunch of things that happened during the festival that didn't end up on the updates page, but, you know, everybody knew about what was going on. Like that thing with the pets.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that didn't end up on the updates page. Yeah, basically what happened was, I guess, from what I hear, it was like the first 10 minutes, people with pets that entered the Dragon Arena during the Dragon Festival lost their pets for just permanently.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it's. I heard it on the forums, and a lot of people were pretty angry about it, but Gail Gray's response to it was she basically said, sorry, you know, we fixed it within minutes, but sorry, you know.
Yeah, and then I also heard something about there were some accounts getting banned for people being AFK, but the problem was we were all doing that the whole whatever it was, five days or whatever.
Apparently they didn't catch everyone because Loudon's still on.
I know. Well, I was leaving my computer on every night. It was, and I even left it on one day when I was at work. It was bad.
Hopefully you didn't get banned.
No, I just...
That's a good thing. But as far as I can tell, there's nothing major that happened in Guild Wars these past couple weeks. Only thing that's really happened is updates in Heroes Ascent. They made the matches in Hall of Heroes last 4 minutes long, which a lot of people aren't too happy about.
Yeah, I haven't even tried that out.
They start more often now, right?
Yeah.
I was noticing that because we see people winning halls so much quicker.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the 4 minute matches now because the team that's holding it, especially if it's a type of spike with monk secondaries like Blood Spike, for instance, it's too easy for them to cap and hold it. It's not enough time.
Oh. Like they could get in there in like the first 2 minutes and then, you know, but if it were to last like a few minutes longer, they would lose it.
Pretty much. And like if the Necro Spike is holding, the other teams would pretty much have to rush them. They would have to get like a well of profane up on around on the altar so they couldn't cast enchantments on the Ghostly Hero. But it's insane now.
That just happened, what, on Friday?
Yeah, Friday the 7th. Another thing I can think of is that they changed a champion title, and the champion title is when you defeat 25 top guild teams with a rating above 1,200, which is a top 200 rank. That's one of the things that happened, really.
Oh, okay, yeah, I see that on there, too. So they're basically making it harder to... For Hall of Heroes and for the champion title. Yeah.
Champions for GPG.
I just saw somebody today in Ice Caves that had a legendary survivor title, which is the third rank on Survivor. I thought that was pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have an old guildy who's got that, and then I guess once you achieve that, then you can start dying after that, and it doesn't matter. You still have, you know, you reach that EXP level.
But. Oh, cool.
Yeah. And the third level is, I think, 1,333,500, something like that.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not too hard to accomplish. You just got to be very careful.
And have a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah. If you want to do it, the fastest I've seen it done is in a week and a half.
Jeez. That's incredible.
That's with people who have no lives.
Yeah, apparently. So did you guys both, did you I know you did, Lady Sinead, you played the Through the Dragon Fest and everything, but did you participate much, Slaughter?
I only participated about the last day, because that's when I actually had time to actually get on Guild Wars, but I only got one mask, which is for my Necro. I wanted one for my Monk also, but I didn't get a chance to get one.
Oh. Well, at least you got to do a little bit.
Well, you still got the NPC that you can trade for him still, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think you get any more orbs, can you?
No.
No, but there's plenty of people selling them, and I happen to have some more that.
Well, I've seen people selling a stack for like 10, 15k. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, well, yeah. We were selling it for that much, and I say we because I jump on the bandwagon on these things, but selling them for that much. But then after the festival ended, there's just so many people with leftover orbs that it's hard to sell a stack for more than 3k right now.
Yeah.
Oh, 3K? I might do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that they would, as soon as they stopped dropping, they could stock up on them and then sell them for crazy amounts.
I was hoping that, maybe like 20K a stack, but it didn't happen. There was too many people who had leftovers. But when they first started dropping, before the quests were coming out that would give you like 100 or 240, we were selling them for... like 350 each. So each, we made a killing in like the first 4 hours or so when they first started after whatever Pacific time, midnight, whatever it was.
Well, 350 for everyone, an entire stack's 250. That's what, 87k?
Yeah, but we had to farm for them individually, so. But the thing was, they would drop from anything. So, you know, we were just going out and just, I had my Barrage Ranger and was just, you know, the things were like dropping so quickly, it was like, no problem.
Well, on the last day of, I just did like all the quests that I could do, and I just brought my Minion Master because everything was, say, like level 10 or below. So my minions could pretty much one-shot anything.
Yeah.
I pretty much missed, I was bummed out that I missed the, probably the first 3 days of that. From Friday to Sunday, but then Monday I got to start collecting the orbs and everything, and I actually had a few people give me stacks of orbs because they knew, you know, that I was gone all weekend and everything, and so I was pretty thankful for that. Like Tara the Dagger, she gave me a stack, but I think I got 3 masks altogether from 2 stacks that people gave me, and then I went out and got my own.
I got one on my warrior, which is the only character that I've gotten any of the festival masks for. The only one that I missed was the antlers during Winter's Day. I got the hat, though.
Oh, yeah, this Yule hat.
But, you know, I mean, I why get, like, a ton of these masks when they're just for show and just cluttering up my inventory?
Yeah, they take up a lot of inventory.
I have too much junk already.
Because on my mic, I have pretty much every single item except for the Halloween one, the pumpkin helmet, because he wasn't alive at that time.
Speaking of inventory space, you know about the updates that we're supposed to have, like, space for putting...
materials?
Crafting materials and things like that?
Yeah. It's been a lot of fuss about on the forums, because supposedly it's only going to be able for factions players, but everyone's yelling at Gil Gray for allowing them to make them for Prophecies characters also. It's kind of making a lot of people fuss on the forums.
Well, I agree with that, but I mean, I see their point of view that they're saying that it's not an imbalancing type thing. You know, it's like having extra storage space is not going to give you a huge advantage over other characters. But still, if you're going to put in an update like this, you should make it global.
Yeah.
Well, I think they... I mean, I see ArenaNet's point, because if you have just Prophecies, you have storage space for Prophecies. And then if you buy factions, you have the same amount of storage space for 2 games, basically. So for them to give you extra storage if you have the second chapter, it seems to make sense to me, you know.
Well, what if you buy just, if you buy just factions, you've bought the same amount that only a Prophecies character has, so...
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah. Yeah, I was under the impression it was if you had both of them, but I guess, yeah, if you just buy factions, yeah, I could see that.
We'll find out soon, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But plus, I mean, I guess they're saying, you know, you can mule stuff if you wanted to, especially with the addition to be able to buy more character slots in the future, but...
Yeah, that was supposed to happen this summer, right?
Right.
It's like $10 used character.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice, if it ever happened.
Depends. I might buy one or two, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, Sean, what were some of the topics you wanted to talk about?
Well, let's see, we were on the subject of the festival, and, you want to talk about the games that there were?
Yeah, and the titles, too.
Oh, yeah, the Unlucky and whatnot.
What, did you get any of the titles?
Yeah. That's why I'm broke.
I got access to one of the titles. I got one of the Unlucky ones, like, one out of 10,000 on my Necro.
Now, you know that those titles are account-wide, not just character.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the only character I really played on, because he was my minion master, and he just pretty much went through everything in that area.
So you got the Lucky title, ladies?
Yeah, I got level 2 of Lucky and 1 of Unlucky.
Oh, okay.
And then I had no more money.
Well, GuildWiki actually has an entire guide on getting those titles about how much time it'll take, how much money exact, the everything about it.
Yeah, and how much you can expect to lose per hour.
Yeah, it's like 219 an hour or something like that.
Those things fascinate me, the way people break those down into mathematical formulas, you know? Man.
I would never do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. I mean, when I first discovered it, the first thing I did was I did a trial run of each spot and did, like, it wasn't very scientific, but I did it for 15 minutes and then calculated, okay, multiplied. This is how much you can expect to win, lose in an hour on this spot. And then.
Yeah, I know I saw a lot of people that I haven't seen for a while that haven't played, you know, they beat factions when it came out and then they haven't been back for a while. I know I saw them back on again during this, mm-hmm. and they were had a little away by their name in the friends list.
Of course.
It's like, I wonder what they're doing.
Yeah, so I have a guildie who was saying that, you know, getting these titles was being AFK plus rich equaled getting the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and pull up that guide real quick. Isn't Nine Rings and Rings of Fortune the same exact thing?
No, Nine Rings only had 9 spots, and then Rings of Fortune was, what, 4x4? And the odds were exactly the same no matter where you stood.
Okay. Well, according to this guide that this dude who apparently has too much time on his hands, he calculated to get the first level of Lucky takes 44K... and 15 hours.
Yeah, I think I spent 50K or so. I mean, I don't remember exactly how much because I was selling orbs and then buying tickets.
Okay, to get the fifth title of the entire thing for being lucky, which is blessed by fate, is apparently 2.2 million and 724 hours.
So, how much does 724 hours calculate to? How many days is that?
Let's see, 24 hours in a day. Let's see, I'll do the math real quick. I think it's about a month, 30 days.
Yeah, so that raises the question of, are they going to have more games like this in the future? Because there would be, you know, physically no way to get that title in the time that this festival lasted.
Yeah. There's been a lot of talk and rumors about them having more games that cost more tickets, but they gave out more tickets when you win. Like, supposedly it's going to be 50 tickets a win, or something like that. So we'll find out, I guess. Let's see. And to get the Unlucky, let's see, which is Hated, what's the last level? All right, the first level for Unlucky is 62K and 20 hours to get the first level first title, whatever, of Unlucky. But the last title, which is Hated, supposedly takes 6.25 million gold and an hour, which is equivalent to 86 days. Which is insane.
Jeez.
I would never want to do that.
No, that's a little too hardcore.
Yeah. You'd have to, like, eBay gold or something like that.
God, yeah.
Or just, like, be rich, like one of my friends who has 9 sets of Fissure Will Armor. Because back in the day, it was a lot easier to make money, because ectodes were selling for about... I remember when they were selling for about 50k each, which was pretty insane. And Griffin farming, which is pretty much what everyone did back there, back then, whatever.
Right.
It was very easy, because in each run of the Griffin farming, you'd get at least 2 or 3 gold items, and most of them were fairly good. I made about 500k doing that total in about 2 weeks. But now it's just way too hard.
Yeah, everything's getting nerfed, it seems like.
Yeah, they've made it harder on people since 6 months ago or something like that.
Yeah.
So then we also had the, other games there were? There was,
there's
the Dragon Arena
thing.
Yeah.
The Whack-A-Worm or something like that. I played that for minutes and I apparently won. I don't know how that happened. I think I took a screenshot of it because I had no idea what I was doing. But I apparently either got first or second place, so I think it was like 35 points or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You just have to get more points than the other people.
Yeah. And apparently, they're like the white worms or something like that, they would cripple everyone that's around you, except for you if you hit them.
Right.
That was pretty interesting. And some of the other ones, if you tag them, you would get like -2 points or something like that. I don't know how it works now. I forget.
Yeah, each color was something different.
Yeah. It's like red, white, and blue. 4th of July.
So, what do you guys think will be the next event? You think it'll be Halloween? Or you think sometime before then?
No, probably sooner than that.
A lot sooner, probably. Let's see.
Well, possibly they might even have the new chapter up.
Possibly.
I mean, I know they said that they want to do every 6 months, but I'd be surprised if it comes out that quickly. I mean, I think once a year is, you know, still pretty ambitious.
You mean for new chapters or new, like, events?
New chapters.
Yeah, yeah. Chapter 3 is supposed to be, like, this African savanna chapter.
Yeah.
There was, an IGN interview about a month or two ago that came out. Pretty much told everything about it. Well, not everything, just, like... what's coming up and whatnot.
Everything that's been released about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Including the name.
Yeah, it's, I forgot the name of it.
Nightfall?
Nightfall, yeah, that's it. I guess it could be an interesting chapter, find out soon enough.
Yeah. The only thing is they talk about, there's supposed to be a melee hand-to-hand profession, or at least people are speculating about that, but I don't know. First of all, I don't think they're going to do that. And second of all, if they did do that, I think it would be a disaster because people pay so much and they put so much time and energy into skins, you know, of weapons and shields and, you know.
Yeah, it's been
maybe
you
would have, like, special gloves or some additional
yeah.
thing that would
magical
you know,
gloves,
give you
fire gloves.
More damage.
There's been some talk on the forums about there's going to be, like, a spear chucker or something, which... if they are going to be doing that, I will definitely not play it, because all it would be doing was pretty much pure damage, and there's already 2 classes that pretty much do that itself, and I couldn't see, like, a spear chucker having any defensive or anything, except, like, holding the spear up and, like, blocking everything, which be kind of overpowered, in my opinion, but I'd definitely not play it.
Yeah, I heard about that, too. Kind of like a pikeman.
Yeah, something like that.
Something else I wanted to talk about was, Slaughter, do you listen to that PC Gamer podcast at all?
PC Gamer, no, but I listen to 1UP.
Oh, okay. It's, in the last one they did, they talked about the market share of MMOs and how you know, basically World of Warcraft is blowing all the rest of them away. You know, they have about 6 million subscriptions, and the next...
They're going on and on about it, and then EverQuest. And
yeah, EverQuest has like 170 or something like that, and EverQuest, or EverQuest 2 has about 200,000, and they didn't mention Guild Wars at all. And then finally, a little bit later on, one of the guys mentions, hey, what about Guild Wars? They have like 2 million. They just reached 2 million. And they're kind of like, yeah, whatever, you know. They didn't... It seems like they didn't really take Guild Wars that seriously. And it just... It kind of bugs me that when talking about numbers like this in gaming and MMOs, people usually overlook Guild Wars. And I never really understand why they do, but I think it might have to do with the fact that they're not considered a real MMORPG, you know.
Now, why is that? Yeah. Is it because there's no monthly fee?
No, actually, ArenaNet has said themselves when Guild Wars first came out that it's not, they're not trying to bill it as a MMORPG. It's just the way that the gameplay and everything, it's a little bit different than traditional, you know, role-playing games.
Oh, right. When they first advertised it, what did they tout it as? They gave it some weird name, and it was like, okay, but it's still an MMO.
Yeah.
What did they call it? I forget.
I forgot, too. I know what you mean, though.
I forgot. No,
it was some kind of little catchphrase.
Yeah.
Well, according to 1UP, Guild Wars is one of the top 10 MMORPGs, which is pretty much all the PC video games, except for some of the first-person shooter games. And also, according to MMORPG.com, it's either the first or second top-ranked MMORPG, and the second one is a space game called EVE Online.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pay-to-play.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what they're talking about.
Now, why does it bother you, Sean, that they usually don't mention Guild Wars when talking about this class of game?
Well, it's just, I don't know, it's weird. It's like, they're doing so good, and they're such, I mean, 2 million is a lot. And, I mean, you could make the argument that a lot of people have second accounts, third accounts, and that there's bots and everything, but, you know, World of Warcraft has that too. So their 6 million isn't 600 or 6 million individuals, just as Guild Wars 2 million isn't 2 million individuals. But they're still, in the numbers game, they're still second. You know what I mean? And it's just strange that they're overlooked. And I don't know. You know, it's such a good game, you know, and a lot of people are into it. And it's just strange how it's overlooked. And I wish I knew why that happened, but. I mean, I'm not, like, protesting in the streets or anything. But it's just, I don't know, it's just peculiar.
I'm sure a lot of people are thinking about that.
Well, it's pretty cool that they continue to create on the game and develop it even when, you know, we were between chapters. Yeah. You know, it kept us interested as we kept going along. Because there have been a lot of times that, you know, feeling bored with the game or whatnot, and then suddenly the Halloween festival came out, and then it's like things were going on, and then it's like then, you know, Sorrow's Furnace came, and then, you know, things go along, and then they came out with they moved all the PvP to the Battle Isles, you know? I mean, it's like they keep doing interesting things to keep your interest in the game, which is really quite impressive to me, since there's no monthly fee.
Yeah, they definitely put out more than most other MMOs out there. I mean, what patch is WoW on now? Aren't they on like 1.11 or something like that? Or
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't seem... I know they do little patches here and there, but they've been around a lot longer than Guild Wars, and it just doesn't seem like they've done as much to continue the add-ons as much as Guild Wars has, you know? I saw this post by Gail Gray where she was talking about how people complain about not getting enough things and, you know, this and that, and when she was, I guess, an early gamer, and she was talking about King's Quest, and they changed King's Quest, they made it VGA compatible, and this is talking a long time ago, and they didn't offer an update for it, so basically what you had to do is go out and buy the new version of it that could be played on VGA monitors, and so she just went out and bought the new version, and it's just the way things were back then, and nowadays, you know, you get more and more, and people are expecting more and more. Like, ArenaNet is offering, like you said, all those things you just listed, continuous new content, and people are still, you know, it baffles my mind how I go in the forums, and people are just complaining and complaining. It's like, man. But I don't know. It's just, I just think they're doing a really great job, basically, is what I'm saying. I think they're really offering so much new content, and they're doing it. Like in that PC Gamer podcast, they even mentioned, they said, how does Guild Wars, how does ArenaNet even make money? They offer this $50 add-on twice a year. Well, supposedly now, you know, twice a year. And I think the way they do it is they're such a small company. I think they have like 110 employees right now. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're also paired up with NCSoft, which is a not a major big company, but it's a fairly big company because they have about eight or nine games up.
And then plus they do things like the tournaments with huge cash prizes. I mean, that's like, amazing.
It's like $50,000 for the team. I'm like, I'd love to do that, but I'm not 18 years or older, and the next tournament they're going to make it, that's got to be at least 16, and you have to have a Guardian that's over like 30 or something like that. So I think a lot of people will be able to get in the tournament now, because about 4 or 5 months ago, when one of my friends' guild was in the top 16, they couldn't go to the tournament because most of them were 16, and at the time you had to be at least 18. And they got jumped out, and the rank 17 was able to go to the tournament, and that rank 17 beat Last Pride, which was pretty much everyone's favorite back then, and pretty much still is now. So they kind of caused Evil to lose. It's kind of made a lot of people mad. That's why they're changing it to 16 now instead of 18.
Well, you want me to read over some of these emails? We can answer them.
Sure.
Or at least act like we know the answer.
Act, yeah.
I just smile and nod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to chronologically, because there's some that are back from May that I never answered.
Back from May?
Jeez.
Yeah. I know. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Let's see. This guy, I can't even pronounce this, Marth Richards, M-A-W-R-T-H. He says, I have a level 20 Canton Warrior that I don't know how to use as effectively as I can. I beat the game and have done fine with my quests and all, but I would really like to know what a good build for a warrior is. Let's see. He goes through and he says he wants to use a sword and 13 strength for his sentinel armor. And he wants to know a PvP build for this armor. So, I mean, for this warrior. So, I guess, like, last show I did, where I talked about the Shock Warrior, I guess that's pretty popular now, but are there other ones with a sword?
Not especially in PvP. The only one that I can think of that's another famous for warriors is Ai Wei, which is one of the things that I hate the most.
Yeah.
Because there's way too many people who play it, and it's, in my opinion, it's too easy to counter. I just can't understand why people play it, because, I don't know, if you play it against a crappy team, they usually beat it.
Yeah.
I just don't like the certain aspects of it. Because, yeah, I played Ai Wei once or twice back in November when it first came out, and I didn't like it, and since that day, I've never played Ai Wei, because I just hated it so much. And now, pretty much Ai Wei, instead of being the flavor of the month in PvP, it's pretty much been the flavor of the year, which is pretty sad in my opinion.
Yeah, I remember I talked about it really early on, one of the early shows, and
I remember that.
Even then, I thought it was dying out, but it's still around.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people play it. It's one of the cheapest builds you can play, and it's easy to do. I mean, you get an axe, you get a vamp mod or someone on it, you just run in and whack people and allow your pet to attack them also. It's also way too easy to counter. It's so easy. Dust trap for the win. Everything. Shadow of Fear, Spiteful Spirit. A lot of things are so easy to counter.
It's probably gotten to the point now where there's not builds specifically set up to counter Ai Wei, because people don't believe that people are actually still playing Ai Wei.
Actually, some people pretty much just make pure anti-Ai Wei builds, because this afternoon when I started doing HA again, since I haven't been able to do it in like the past 2 weeks, I was in the International 1 for about 10 minutes, and I saw 15 anti-Ai Wei teams. It's kind of amazing.
Alright, so I'll go on to this next one. This one actually...
Yeah, next email.
Yeah, the next email. this... One, actually, he asked me a question, and then he found out the answer, so he told me the answer, but I'll read it just so that everybody knows the answer to it, I guess. Okay, he says, "Greetings. I've been listening to your podcast up till episode 15 or so before I actually went out and bought the game. And it took me another 3 weeks before I actually installed it. And now I'm spending way too much time playing it." So I got somebody to buy the game. Because I've been trying to convince my friends to get into the game, so I'd been wondering if there's a way to obtain a temporary trial key so that my friends can try the game for a short time. I understand this was available previously around the time when Factions came out, but it doesn't appear to be available anymore. That's from KX from Hong Kong. And when he writes back, he says, "My copy of Factions comes with trial keys for several other NCSoft games, but none of them are for Guild Wars." Now, I don't know if that's... He's from Hong Kong, so I don't know if that's exclusive to that version. But he, what he did was he wrote to to ArenaNet, and this is what they said. "Thanks for expressing an interest in Guild Wars. Currently, we do not offer demo or evaluation software or game accounts for Guild Wars. In order to create a Guild Wars account, you'll need to purchase a retail copy," blah, blah, blah. So basically, they're saying that they don't, that little trial key that we all got when we bought Factions doesn't work anymore, and they're not offering a demo right now. So for all this, and I have been asked that question before also by a few other people.
That reminds me of, I just got an email, like, I'm on a couple different email lists for local game stores, but there was one, they were selling, if you bought Guild Wars Factions, you got Auto Assault for free, and it was like, it kind of like made me think, like, are the sales going badly for Factions, or are they going, I know that Auto Assault's pretty poor, but I don't know if they're trying to just boost the sales of that one by using the good sales of Factions. Well, do you know anything about the numbers? The
Auto Assault, actually, they just laid off a bunch of people that were working on Auto Assault, so I think that's the one that's doing really poorly.
So they're trying to use Guild Wars to boost that one sales.
Yeah, I'd
pretty
imagine.
Much, yeah.
That sounded more likely. It just surprised me. I was like, oh, look at that.
Yeah, I tried Auto Assault for about 2 hours, and I guess I didn't give it that much of a chance, but I couldn't get into it at all. And I was really excited about it, too, because I like that whole post-apocalyptic Mad Max kind of thing, you know, and I figured I'd try it out, but it was just kind of crazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
What did you do? Like, name your car and then go smash into stuff?
Basically, yeah. Well, you create a character, which was, I don't know, maybe I'm just spoiled from Guild Wars, you know, the graphics and everything, and but you create a character, and then you can customize only little parts of them, and then you create a vehicle, which you can customize even less, which seems kind of odd, since it's Auto Assault. The auto should be, you know, the main focus of the customization.
I would think you could, like, do all this customization to your car.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it had, like, two tones that you could change. Like, there were two sections of the car that you could change colors on, and that was it, basically. So, now I understand that later on in the game you can add more to it and everything, but I just never really got into that. When I went, you drive your car around, and then when you get to cities or outposts, you get out of your car, and then you can see other people walking around, but every outpost I went in, there was, like, one person in there. So, I don't know. Okay, so we got another one here is from a guy named Martin, and he asks a pretty good one, actually. He says, "What exactly are faction points used for? Like, for, let's see, Luxon and Kurzik and Balthazar, what's the difference between the three types of faction points?" That's a kind of a question that I kind of took for granted. I didn't even think that, you know, think about it, but it's there's a lot of people out there who don't realize what the three are for.
Do you want someone to answer it, or...
Well, if you
let's just talk about how we all know the answer.
Well, I can tell you about it. Luxon and Kurzik faction, you get those points from doing quests or certain arenas, like Alliance Battles and Jade Arena, which is a thing, a quest somewhere in the Luxon side of factions. But you can use those to transfer in points to your Guild Alliance, or you could transfer them into Luxon faction can be transferred into Jadeite, which is a rare crafting material, and Kurzik faction can be transferred into Amber Chunks or something like that, and those are also rare crafting materials, and Balthazar faction is used for unlocking skills, elite skills, items, weapon modifications for PvP, pretty much.
Yeah, and since the new updates were in the competitive missions and the alliance battles were actually earning more Balthazar faction too, I've actually been earning a bunch of that just doing, like, for Aspenwood and stuff, and I started unlocking things for the first time last week.
I like that. I like that about what they did with the alliance battles and whatnot.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize that they can use, especially Luxon and Kurzic faction, in so many different ways. You know, like, basically, you know, like you said, how you can put it towards your guild, and that helps you to control cities, which, right now, you know, you need millions and millions of faction to control some of the larger cities.
It's like House of Helter is like a 17 or 18 million faction.
Yeah, and then the small ones, like, I think, like, Tangaroot was like 3 or 4.
I think, Dragon's Throat or something like that, one of those, is like 400,000, which isn't a whole lot, but...
That's not very much.
Yeah, because my guild has... My guild alliance right now has 484,000 faction, which... Eh, I don't really care about controlling cities.
Yeah.
It's like, woohoo, you get a extra taxing over to certain elite missions. Woohoo, I'll just get one of my friends to do it, because, he's in the alliance that is currently holding House of Helzer. It's pretty cool now.
Some people were selling keys for, you know, if you can't talk to the merchants, but I don't see that as a very lucrative business.
Why wouldn't you be able to buy keys from the merchant?
Well, like, I mean, you don't have to hold a town for this, but, like, say, you have more Kurzic faction, you can't talk to the Luxon traders. So if you're going to go into those regions, you can't buy Luxon keys.
Yeah, I hate that. Although I haven't gotten...
But it's easy enough, because all you have to do is just donate all of your current faction and just farm a little bit on the other side, and then you can access their merchants.
Yeah. You have to have more faction of that side that you're on to talk to the NPCs in that area.
Yeah.
Plus the... using the faction for Amber and Jadeite, that price has gone way down, too. And plus, they're starting to offer it at the rare crafting material, or rare crafting traders now.
Yeah. I remember when factions first came out and everyone was getting to House of Helter and Calvalon, whatever it is. And people started doing alliance battles and doing a lot of quests to get more faction. I remember Amber was always the more costly one. It was about 15k each, and Jadeite was only like 4k each. Mm-hmm. And about a month ago, it went down to about 4k for Amber and like 1.4k for Jadeite. And right now, the current price for Amber is like 1.1k, and Jadeite is like 900 gold or something like that.
Yeah.
It's gone way down.
Yeah.
We saw the price drop pretty quickly, but also when they made the update where they started getting more faction for the different competitive missions, the price dropped really quickly at that point. And I had a guildie who was upset about that, and he's like, damn, my business is gone, because he used to just farm faction and sell amber.
that's what one of my friends was yelling at me about. I'm like, I didn't do anything. I just play the game. I don't make it. Like, don't yell at me. Yell at the internet.
Yeah, when I first got factions, and I had my eye on that 15k Kurzic armor for my ranger, and I bought quite a few amber. Like, first I was doing some faction farming for it, and, you know, I did all the quests and everything, and I got all my amber, and I still needed, like, I think I needed, like, 20 more, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to buy it. And then it was still pretty expensive. I think it was about 15k. for each one, and boy, I spent so much money on that, and now I see how cheap it is. It's like, boy.
You should just wait an extra couple weeks.
Yeah, I know. But I had to be the first one on my block to
win that armor.
Yeah.
I'm not a big, huge fan of all the 15k armors from factions. The only one I really like a lot is the 15k Necro Kurzic, I think it is. Let me check real quick. Because it's just
the
like...
male?
Yeah, male, because my Necro's male, of course. Right now he has 15k Necrotic, which is pretty cool. Dyed black. I don't like it.
Yeah, I wasn't really impressed with the 15ks either.
that's pretty much the only one I really like, because one of the Hmong 15K armors, I think it is, just looks like an entire vest for the chest piece. Just kind of messed up, in my opinion.
Yeah, my monks, I looked at the Krizik armors, and the, I got the 1.5 because I thought it looked way better than the 15K. And then, like, for my Necromancer, I thought the 15Ks were ugly. They had, like, the spikes were all elongated and looked, like, freaky.
Yeah. It seems like the 15K is just more exaggerated versions.
Yeah.
But, oh, I used to have an old guildie who, she complained that the more expensive the armor, the smaller the garments seemed to be on the female characters.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially 15K Gladiator.
Yeah, but that wasn't the case with the monk armor that I got. It, the 1.5 shows a lot more skin.
Yeah, I get into the armors a lot, though. I admit there weren't too many on this one that really caught my eye. I like the 15K Krizik warrior, male warrior armor. Well, that was pretty cool looking, but everybody has it now, so, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of lost its
appeal. I'm a big fan of that.
But I can't wait to see what they have for Chapter 3.
I'm not a big, huge fan of the new Fissure Walmart armors for Assassin and Ritualist. The Ritualist has, like, this big, huge headpiece that's, like, about the size of your chest, which is pretty messed up.
Yeah. It looks like somebody put a Stanley Cup on their head or something.
Yeah, no, seriously. But for the Assassin 15K armors, I really liked some of those. They really caught my eye. Sean, you got any other emails that people emailed to you? Or is that the last one?
No, I got, let's see. I got about three more.
All right, go ahead and read them.
I got one that's not a question. I'll just read it because it's...
Statement? Okay.
Yeah. He says, hey, love the podcast. My in-game name is Mecha Octorok. I play a warrior, and I wanted to offer my services to anyone who needs the Villainy of Galrath quest. I'll run it for free from either TOA or Bergen Hot Springs. I can do it in about 8 minutes from TOA, so contact me in-game. I think he's just saying, you know, for anybody who wants to contact him. I usually don't, you know, advertise these kind of things. Cause I get a lot of emails about people wanting to do things like this. But I thought that was pretty good for 8 minutes. You know?
A lot of people do that. It's not too hard to kill Galrath since he's a warrior. I don't think he has any... He might have Healing Signet. I don't remember if he does. But you can just take him down within a couple of seconds, usually.
Yeah, He's pretty easy himself.
It's just kind of a long walk,
that's all. Yeah, yeah. Plus, for him to do it for free. But that was just that. It was just kind of a statement. And then I got this one. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is from Toodles the Clown, who is on the forums a lot. And this is kind of... My favorite part of this, he has three questions. Let's see. The first one he asks about the Guildcast merchandise that I've talked about before, but that still is in the works. And then he's got the second one. It says, this one's for Lady Senea, I think, because she has the best monk ever. So let that be on record right there. He said, but we've talked about this before, though, so I don't think we really need to. Because he just says, what's the armor, weapons, runes, stats, and skills for a solo farming monk? I guess we could just refer back to that 55 monk one you did, right?
Oh, yeah, it's superior runes. It doesn't matter what armor level, because basically things are going to hit you. And then you need the Sesta, which has negative 50 hit points, so that you can be brought down to 55.
Yeah, so I mean that was all pretty much gone over before. I just wanted to basically point out the part that he says you're the best monk ever. So. And then
that
the
part
third
was
one,
important.
Yeah, well, this part's funny here, his third question. I actually laughed out loud when I read this. He says, can I be the official Guildcast clown? Just so I can say things like, hey, nice to meet you, I'm the official Guildcast clown. And then I can watch the look on their face. That would be cool.
That's kind of insane.
Sure, do we need a mascot? Yeah, okay.
Okay, and then I got another one from, he doesn't tell me his in-game name, but he says his name's Corey. And let's see, he says, hey, Sean, hearty greetings to you. I've just started tuning into your podcast today. Great stuff. This was on July 7th. I played the first Guild Wars when it came out and let it go inactive for months on end and just picked up factions and started playing again. Oh, wait a minute. He doesn't have a question. He just,
good job, John.
Said, yeah, he just basically said I'm awesome, so I wanted to read that.
Okay. So, Sean, you're awesome. That's kind of a given, though. We don't have to. It's kind of like Sine is the best monk ever. It's like, Sean is awesome. Okay, end of story. Next.
Nothing about me. Yay.
Well, not yet. This is your first one.
Not yet.
This is your debut here. I'm sure after this one, people are going to be like...
See, they don't know you yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
Then they'll say, Slaughter's only... the best ever.
Yeah. I'm going to point out one thing real quick. I know I sound like I'm 20, but I'm only 14.
Yeah, I
just want to say that.
I was amazed at that.
We weren't going to mention it, but...
Yeah.
I just had to say that. Because every time I go on vent and, like, nobody knows who I am, they always... I always ask them to try to guess my age, and if they do, I'll give them, like, 50K or something like that. So far, nobody's gotten it correct. They always say 18, 19, 25, something like that. So,
I know, I guessed 22, and then I went upwards from there.
I think I said 17.
Yeah, and I'm like, alright, take about 10 years off that. I think I got my first computer when I was 7 or 8, and it was like a Compaq or something like that.
Oh, jeez.
Wait, was it a Pentium? Because I remember when Pentium came out.
I don't know.
Okay. I was in college when the Pentium came out, just to throw that out there.
God.
I mean, I thought it was funny when, Sean, you were talking about, you know, when you were playing games on a Commodore 64, because that was the first computer that I ever played anything on, too.
I remember when I was, like, 4 or 5 playing the Sega on my TV. God, I remember pulling, like, everything on that, like, Sonic the Hedgehog and the little expansion disc things or cassette, whatever you call them.
Cartridges?
Yeah, the cartridges. Yeah, are we going to, like, have a celebration on November 19th for the first year anniversary of Guildcast and latest and latest birthday?
Yep.
Yeah, just we wondering. Should. We should go somewhere.
The X Band.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be cool. I don't know if I'll have any money to go anywhere at that point in time, but that would be really cool if we, like, had something.
Like, well, everybody would be getting like you presents anyway, so.
A couple hundred ales.
Woohoo!
Give out some ales, dance, drunk.
Nothing.
Anyway, see, Yedex Band
party
is...
Party in Fort Rennick.
Pre-searing or post-searing? Yeah. No, I'm
yeah, I don't... When I go with groups, when I'm with a party or something, I don't usually... Actually, I don't think I've ever really told anybody about Guildcast. You know, I don't say, like, hey, you know, why don't you guys... I probably
check
could.
Check out Guildcast.
Yeah, I probably could advertise more. But it's funny, because when I go with Jatoma, you know, in the forums, Jatoma, he...
Yeah.
When we're together and we go in a group together, he always talks about it. And it's hilarious, because he's doing it kind of as a joke. And he's like, hey, did you guys hear about this new podcast? Or he said this a long time ago. He said this new podcast called Guildcast. And people are like, no, what's that? And then he'll act like he just heard about it. And then he'll start saying, like, he'll go, yeah, the host is really cool. He's this guy named Sean. And
then later, I was in that dude's pug. Woohoo, I know him.
Usually we'll be on vent together, and I'm, like, cracking up. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, that's one of Loudon's favorite pastimes, too, is he announces in local chat, he goes, oh, my God, it's Lady Sinea. I love your show.
Don't you have that, like, as a comment or something?
Sad thing is it doesn't get old no matter how many times he does it.
Good times.
We should leave that in the recording.
No, you shouldn't. No, seriously, you shouldn't.
You're not even supposed to ask a lady things like that. You know, I plan on going to Tennessee and going in the phone book and looking up every Sean and going up to their houses and beating them up.
Oh,
so, you know, I mean, I know your name, so haha. Oh, wise one.
Do you enjoy long walks on the beach?
Have you been drinking tonight or something?
Sorry, that's awesome how you say it for the loss in normal conversation.
Sean, you're awesome.
Sean, you better edit that out. Yep, good old times.